A program to train feral dogs to guard farmers and their fields from theft has seen success in Uganda this summer. GLT News correspondent Brianna Groh talks with a local dog trainer, Tina Zimmerman, founder of Mainstream Harvest Guards International, about the difference the program has made in the lives of both farmers and their dogs.
I have been traveling to different parts of Africa since 2010 and actually became friends with a missionary family there who teaches a farming program. And in the last 5 years, they've started to teach vanilla farming. And so vanilla farming is very lucrative, and it grows really good in that part of the country, the southwest part of Uganda. And so the farmers there are actually starting to turn a good profit, finally getting a little bit out of the poverty there. But what started to happen then is that people saw the opportunity of stealing from them, and so they were going into their fields in the evening after dark, stealing the vanilla and selling it, and so the farmers were losing a lot of profit. So what they started to do was to actually sleep out in their fields, and a lot of the farmers are women. Their mothers or fathers who were having to, number one, leave their families alone in their homes. And the homes there, most of them don't have a door like what we think of. It's a curtain or a blanket of some sort. So they can't lock their family up. Nobody's there to protect them. Not only that, the farmers are exposed to malaria. They're being victims now of crime and of violence because they're out in the middle of the night sleeping alone in their fields. And so the missionary who is there had seen some of the training programs that I do here in the States and just said, hey, do you think there's any way you could come here and train dogs to protect the farmers? And so we said, well, let's try it. And so Harvest Guards was kind of birthed out of that. We did one session, a month-long session back in November and December. It worked incredibly well. I went back and started another school in another part of Uganda, a bigger school. It went really well. And since then, they've now just in the last couple of months had their first vanilla harvest since they've had their guard dogs protecting their farms. And their production was huge because they got to keep it all for themselves. So we're starting to already see some success with the program.
So this was truly built out of you went to a place in need, and you had a certain set of skills that could fill that need. You have a business, Mainstream Training.
Yeah.
How long have you run that, and how did you get into that?
I started training animals as a teenager, dogs, horses. We lived on a farm, and I just had a gift for it. I had a passion for it. Was very heavily into training horses and competing, and then had a really bad accident and kind of backed off of that and started leaning more heavily towards dogs. Did it kind of on the side. I was a vet tech for years, and so got a lot of clients through that, but it was just kind of a side thing. But in 2007, I opened Mainstream Training as full-time facility.
Okay. So Harvest Guards International, you mentioned that some of the success with this is helping lift some of the residents out of poverty. What poverty are they experiencing?
Well, it's definitely a third world country. There is no insurance. They are completely dependent on the process working correctly. So if it doesn't rain, the process gets messed up. Now they have to carry water, which they will carry, you know, 20 gallons on their head barefooted on a rocky hill. People without clothes, people who die of very treatable diseases like diarrhea. They're very, very dependent on each other and on things going well. And so it's so sad that when they get a skill like farming and then the crop grows well because it's a good area for it, and they have good rain, and they see the vanilla coming on. And to wake up in the morning and it be gone, it's just gut-wrenching. You don't just start over the next day. You know, it's 3 years before you have vanilla again on a vine.
And here in the States, if that were to happen to a crop, you know, a farmer might get the police involved. Is that just not even an option in these villages?
It's law there is very subjective. There's not a police department. Those who can afford security could hire a guard to walk the fields in the evening. They don't have a lot of access to weapons to protect themselves, and so what they would have would be a machete or a big stick. It would very much be hand-to-hand combat. I mean, it's just primitive. And so, yeah, they can't dial 911, you know, and have the police chase down the thief. They wake up and it's gone.
So what makes dogs a good solution for this problem?
Well, dogs, as we know here, are so trainable to track, you know, to apprehend someone, to just guard. But what we started with in Uganda was a culture of seeing dogs as a nuisance animal. They understand that dogs kill their livestock. Dogs bite people. Dogs carry rabies. That's how they view a dog. And so for me to introduce the concept of domesticating a dog and teaching it to do this was completely mind-blowing to them. There was no concept. But they trusted the process. They trusted me. They just are willing to try anything. So that's where we started.
Let's talk a little bit about the training process. So who exactly are you training? Is it farmers, or are you really getting more of the broader community involved?
Right now, we've restricted the program to only these vanilla farmers who have been in the farming program. The farming program that's there is Harvest Hands International. That's kind of where we got our name off of them because we're partnering with them.
The dogs that are working in this program, where are they coming from? I understand that actually some of them are feral. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
When we set up the program, when I first talked to my friend who has been there for 22 years, he assured me that because they are doing well with their farming, they could afford to buy a German Shepherd type dog, and that up in Kampala, which is a good 7 hours drive from where we're working, there are breeders there. So we said, let's go with German Shepherd puppies between the age of 6 months to a year and a half. Mm-hmm. You know, we want larger dogs that are going to finish out at about 80 pounds. And so we gave them, you know, from March to November to buy dogs and get them. That's so not what happened. Mm-hmm. So when I arrived the first day, I said, don't bring your dogs. We need to just have orientation and talk. And then I asked, you know, how much does your dog weigh? And one man said 5 kilograms. And I'm doing math in my head, 2.2 kilograms per, that's like a 12-pound dog, you know. And it was pretty common, 20 kilograms, 30 kilograms. Okay. So then the first day of school, they come with their dogs, and they were just feral dogs that they had. They would watch for a dog to have puppies, and while the puppy was young enough to snatch away, they would get that puppy.
This is Sound Ideas, and I'm Brianna Groh. I'm talking with Tina Zimmerman, who is part of Mainstream Harvest Guards International. That's a program that she founded that empowers people in Uganda to train dogs to protect their farms and families. So now you're faced with a situation where you have a training program, but dogs who are not domesticated.
Right.
Are they still trainable?
I wanted German Shepherds because they're normal guard dogs. They love to chase and bite. They love to guard. What showed up was feral dogs who were terrified of the people. The people were terrified of the dogs, and they brought them in on chains. The first day was just me trying to get the chains off the dog and a collar on the dog, as well as treat them with a flea and tick prevention and some worm medication. And so that was the whole first day. Just the fear in the dog's eyes and the shock of the people of me taking these dogs and just handling them like I'm used to do, you know, working at the vet. Mm-hmm. So the first challenge was, you know, here in America, you present a dog with a piece of food, and then you get them to cooperate and do what you want, and you reward them with the food. Mm-hmm. But day two was, number one, the dogs didn't recognize the food that I had brought. I brought two bags of dog food, you know. They didn't recognize that as food.
Right.
And so that didn't motivate them whatsoever. Number two, when I would reach my hand out to them, they shrieked down, you know, instead of being rewarded. And so we just went back to basics of, let's just be in a place of peace with our dogs, sit down on the ground, pull the dog to you, and put your hand on him. And that was day two, put your hand on your dog. And the fear in both the handler and the dog was like nothing I've ever seen before. Day three, the magic started to happen. The people were learning to touch the dogs, and the dogs were melting, just sinking down to the ground and flopping over, belly up. And all of a sudden, the humans were realizing that there's something different about a dog than the cattle that they drive or the goats that they drive, that this dog has a connection with them. Then we were able to really start the training process.
And so once that training can begin, what are the objectives for you?
Well, first and foremost, and this was a huge concern, I had several of the village chiefs come and talk to me that they were concerned about the safety of the people. If we were training these dogs to attack, how is that working? How is that going to be safe? Mm-hmm. And so the very first phase of the training is the same as I do here: obedience, obedience, obedience. We had some of those rubber wristbands made up. They had to be able to make their dogs sit, lie down, stay, and come when called to earn a wristband. And so the next 2 weeks were a lot, but in order to proceed, they had to be able to do those obedience skills, and they had to bring their dog and walk up to another person and shake their hand, and the dog had to sit quietly beside them.
And how long does it take from starting training to having a graduated pair of handler and dog?
There, I was mind blown by how quickly they progressed because they took it so seriously. For one thing, we trained all day. What we'd do is we'd work with the dogs for a little bit, and then we would sit. There was a massive acacia tree that we would sit under. We would take breaks, and we would talk about things about nutrition and veterinary care and things like that. And you have to always be aware that we're never going to make them Americans, and that's not my goal. Our program has to be reproducible. Mm-hmm. My goal is to eventually back out of that part of Uganda. I've already got two trainers there that I'm working with, having them doing some of the training. So eventually it can be a Ugandan program, not an American program. But it was interesting to me, we were talking about nutrition, that dogs need animal protein, which the only thing that they have access to that they can afford is these little white fish called McKenna. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about that, how much they need to feed and that they need to have water. And one of the gentlemen said, we didn't know we're supposed to feed our dogs. We just turn them loose like they do cattle. You drive them down the road and they forage for food. And these dogs are also skinny because they're not feeding them. And on top of that, now I'm telling them, you can't let these dogs run free. You have to keep them confined because you're training them to guard. And so now the dogs, if they do keep them confined, they don't have access to food. And to hear someone say, we didn't know we were supposed to feed our dogs, we didn't know we're supposed to give them water, that tells you how much of a culture shift we're having to make there, but right, they're doing it. And now, at the end of the last period I was there, they threw a little banquet, which was so sweet, where they stood up and gave speeches, and they said before, when they would eat their food, if they saw a dog, they would chase the dog off. Now, before they eat, they make sure their dog is fed.
Wow. I would imagine that a lot of the times that people are worried about theft happening would be at night. Mm-hmm. So the dogs that have been through this program, are, how does that work? Are they just out in the fields kind of keeping watch, or?
Yes. The only way they have of confining the dogs are to tie them up. And I know here that's almost been, you know, it's not even legal. There, number one, the climate is cool in the evening, but they're tying their dogs out and they're listening for the barking. The way we train the dogs is not just vicious, crazy animals. As I said, this is on command. And so in our practices, we're actually using the dogs on a patrol. So they would be walking with the dog, and if they saw somebody in the field, they could do much like we do here, go or I'm going to send the dog. And they send the dog on command. But at the same time, if it happens to be a friend or a family member, they would tell the dog, sit, stay. So the dog understands his job. But if he's tied up, the alert of barking would tell them, somebody's in my field, I need to go check it out.
So they're a lot like an alarm system.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm curious again about the relationship that these farmers develop with the dogs. They no longer see them as wild or angry dogs, but is it becoming more of like the kind of relationship as how we see dogs as our companions there?
Yeah, and they're really surprised to learn that. Like I said, these are people, they're farmers in this area. They do have livestock. They may have one or two goats or some chickens or some cows. And, you know, livestock just don't have that eager to please, bond, hold, pet me. I mean, I used to have a pet cow that loved to be scratched, but, you know, they just don't see the animals as a partner. And I would say that was the magic when I made them hold their dog like a baby on their lap, and they looked at me like I was crazy, and then they did it, and felt that connection when the dog's looking them in the eyes and licking them and, you know, leaning in for more scratching. And, you know, our first few days, like I said, was just building that relationship.
Tina Zimmerman also tells correspondent Brianna Groh, one village has reported a substantially larger vanilla harvest because of the dogs. She's expanding to tracker training to catch thieves and has lined up a third village to take part in the project. Learn more about Mainstream Harvest Guards International by visiting their Facebook page at facebook.com/harvestguards.